Here in the midst of us. welcome you to this place. This place that we've gathered together in your name. Just to love you and praise you and honor you, Father. We're so unworthy, but yet you're so grateful, Father. We're so grateful that you made it possible that we could come into your presence. Freely, Lord, you paid the price. You paid the price, Lord. You opened the door with your life on Calvary. And when I think about that great love that took you there, Lord, I just, in my heart, I'm so thankful. And I just wish that you didn't have to do it, that it could have been another way. But Lord, I'm so grateful that you paid that ultimate sacrifice. Thank you, Lord, this morning. Thank you for your presence in this place. We welcome you here this morning.
Than ever before. I'm sorry when I forgot that you're not. So take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you.
Amen. How many of you know that when you have Jesus, you have everything that you need? I was praying for one of my greatest friends. His name is James Van Valkenburg, and he was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. And Parkinson's is very awful. It's one of the most awful diseases you can have. It just doesn't affect your mind or your body. It affects your mind. It's a little loud up here for me on this microphone. If you'll just turn me down just a little bit. Y'all are saying, wow. Y'all that have been coming here. But I was praying for him one day, and I'd laid hands on him. And the Lord, you know, the Spirit of God will pray for you, and he'll pray through you. It's one of the gifts of the Spirit. And many people believe that tongues is only gibberish, but I can tell you the Holy Spirit has prayed in English through me in words that I would have not thought of, that I wouldn't have prayed, and the Spirit of God has prayed through me in the tongue of English, a heavenly prayer. And I was praying, and I said, I couldn't believe I was saying this, but I said, God, I'm not praying for healing. I'm not praying for you to touch his body or his mind. And we were in the altar, and he just kind of looked up at me, kind of confused. But the Spirit of God said, I pray that he comes into your presence. Because in your presence, all of these things happen. When we get into the presence of God, the things that ail our bodies, that ail our minds, and that ail our soul, I can tell you they cannot stand in the presence of an almighty God. And see, Jesus, what Jesus did was as he made the way, he closed the gap between earth and heaven. You know, before Jesus came, no man could see God and live. It's because man is flesh, and flesh is carnal, and it's corrupted. And a corrupted thing cannot come into the glory of an almighty God. But when Jesus came and he purchased us by his blood on the cross, and he rose again to life, and we rose with him to life by faith, it's simply this, folks, that when we come into the presence of God, that blood that was shed for us now covers us, and it makes us holy when we were not holy, and we are able to enter into the Holy of Holies, and God in his presence dwells there with us. Folks, I don't know if you know this, but you have a spiritual body. If you're born again, you have a spiritual body. And that spirit man goes to and from the presence of God at all times. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? That my spirit man can go to the Father because of Jesus. It doesn't matter where you are and what you're going through. I have an intercessor, and his name is Jesus, and it was provided by the blood of God, and through the encouragement and the strength of his Holy Spirit, folks, we're going to make it. We're going to make it out of this world. We're going to make it alive out of this world. So many are going to taste the air of this earth and not make it to heaven. But folks, those who believe in Jesus are going to live forever. I pray that you're numbered in that this morning. Folks, I want you to know this morning that just because you attend a church service doesn't make you born again. Just because you confess out of your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord does not make you born again. The Bible says the devils in hell believe and tremble. Folks, so simply confessing is not belief. And I come to you this morning, folks. You can ask my wife. I told her last night, I said, I've been poring over this message. And my mind has been so fought bringing it. Because the devil doesn't want this message preached. I believe that. But I believe even more that the devil didn't want me to gain this revelation. Folks, I want you to understand the man behind this pulpit is a man. I'm not God incarnate. I'm not him. I'm not a super spiritual being. I'm not. I am spiritual because I've been born again. But I suffer the way that you suffer. And folks, I believe this morning as the prayer requests were going out, I couldn't imagine getting the news that some people have gotten this week. I couldn't even fathom getting it. I couldn't imagine waking up and my mother and father being shot down in their beds, folks. I couldn't imagine the weight of it, folks. I couldn't imagine my mother on her deathbed in hospice. I couldn't imagine some of the things that you're going through. And I just believe by the Holy Spirit this morning, he's given me this message for you. I believe it. I believe it now more than ever because of what I've heard this morning, what I've encountered just in your testimonies of what's going on in your life. I titled this message, "They Loved Not Their Lives Unto Death." But as eloquent as that is, folks, I just need to tell you this morning, don't quit. Don't quit now. I know the way is getting heavy. I know the load is getting great, but don't quit now. If you come this morning for a voice of encouragement, let me tell you from the Lord, don't quit. Don't quit. Don't stop. Don't curl up now in a ball and say it's too heavy and it's too much and I'm too far and all of these things are terrible, folks. There's a silver lining and his name is Jesus. He waits just on the other side of eternity and he beckons us from the door saying, son, daughter, don't quit now. Folks, there's a reward for us. He says, in this life you will have tribulation. You will have it. We're going to go through it. But do not relent for I have overcome the world. We have this hope in Christ. We have this hope in the knowledge of what Jesus has done, and it is up to us to believe it. Folks, the enemy goes to and fro in the earth like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He is constantly running and growling and roaring, trying to tell you that you are not safe, that it is not okay, that danger is near. But I tell you, I serve a greater lion, the Lion of Judah, the one who stands above it all. The enemies of my soul are his footstool. I've come to encourage you this morning to not quit. Folks, I can tell you, through the years, I've seen people quit God. I've seen people offended in church and walk away from God, completely deny him. He is not real. Folks, the enemy of our soul wants to get us to the place where we deny that God is God. Not because he's not God, but because he's not good. And it's a lie from the devil. God is good. I can tell you, his good may not line up with my good, but his good trumps my good. Folks, in the garden all those years ago, I don't know if you remember this story, but Adam and Eve ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Many times we think that they just ate of the knowledge of evil, but the reality of it is that when men partook of that tree, they gained a knowledge for themselves of what they would decide is good. Their consciousness would then say to them that what I think is good. And so many, you look around today, folks. You look around at the nature of the world, and the Word of God tells us, it says, in the last days, men shall call evil good and good evil, folks. Let me tell you, we're living out the prophecies of Scripture right now. God revealed it to us, and he's expressing, if you want to have my mind and know what is my good and my evil, you must be born again. Because when we are born again, that old nature dies in the cross and in the grave of Christ, and we are raised up as new creatures in the new life of God. He gives us a new mind. He raises up a spirit of truth in us. He allows us to not be wavered in the many waves and winds of this earth. He keeps our focus razor sharp on the goal, which is Christ Jesus. Folks, it says run and don't grow weary. We can't grow weary now, folks. My pastor, Pastor Lee, makes a statement in a message that he preaches. It's called the 2-minute warning. Folks, I can tell you that a football team, this is how he preaches it. A football team, they condition themselves for what part of the game the most? It's the last 2 minutes of the fourth quarter. Folks, when the Super Bowl comes down to the line and the game is tied, what does that coach do? He looks to his very best players and said, this is what we prepared for. Now's the time to go in and stick it out because this is where the victory's won. This is where the glory is seen. And I just call upon you Christians this morning. We're in the last days. We're in the days of the generation that might see Jesus break open the clouds and call his church home. And folks, I would just tell you, God, don't relent, church. Don't quit now. Be encouraged that God is just on the other horizon waiting for us. Folks, his glory has to be seen in the earth, and the only way that his glory will be seen in the earth is through his church. He destined it that way. He put it upon us and our shoulders that the church be unified in one mind, in one accord, to go out into the world and to testify and to do the things that Jesus taught them to do. And folks, the church has gotten lax. The church has sat back, and they've gotten tired, and they've got exhausted by the wiles of the enemy. And folks, now we're sitting here in a day and age where people that don't know God can sit in our congregations and not even be pricked in their heart when the conviction of the Holy Spirit comes. Someone has told them they have been saved all of their life and they've never experienced Jesus. Folks, you have to be born again. There is no exception. I just am so stirred this morning for this truth that God loves you, church. He loves you enough that He wouldn't let you suffer this stuff in vain. Can I just tell you this morning, what you've gone through is not for nothing. For every light affliction that you have gone through is worth to you an eternal weight of glory. That's what the Word of God says. Folks, you've lost loved ones, you've lost children, you've lost your husbands, your wives, you've experienced all kind of torment, and God is not looking at you with a magnifying glass going, this was my purpose for you. No, no, no. He simply said, through this life that you live, when you overcome what no one else could overcome through me, that they might know that I am God. Folks, because you're not the only one that suffers. You're not the only one going, that world out there that don't know God, they're going through the same things that you're going through. This is the difference, that they don't have the answer that we have. And God has left us here, folks, that we might provide that answer by the love and the grace of God, that when our brothers and our sisters are going through torment, that we might come up and guard ourselves with them and say, don't quit now. Don't quit now. Whether they're saved or whether they're lost, it should be the church that comes behind them. And they wrap themselves up with that person and says, there is an answer. And His name is Jesus. Folks, I want you to look here in Revelation chapter 12. Some of y'all are really scared now. My Christmas message will come at Christmas. This is the Christmas message, folks. My God, Jesus said, I've come to die. I was born on this earth to die. Folks, the Christmas message is not just the birth of Jesus, but it's the crucifixion and the resurrection. My heart is so broken for the shape of the church. I'm not talking about this church. I'm talking about the church as a whole. I'm talking about every denomination that claims to know Jesus. My heart is broken for them. Because, folks, we are failing people. We are failing ourselves. And God, in the midst of all of this, is not put off or ashamed of us. Isn't that wonderful? As miserably as all of us have failed, God does not look at us as failures. But God is looking to us with His hand outstretched and said, now is the time to stand. Now is the time to get up. Let me lift you up, believer. Let me pull you up to the place of warfare to fight with the ferocity the Spirit gives you. So it's a call this morning to fight. Revelation chapter 12, starting in verse 1, says, now a great sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Then being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon, having seven heads and 10 horns, and 7 diadems on his heads. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and His throne. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ have come for the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time. I want to encourage you, folks. The devil knows that he has a short time before God puts chains around his arms and his mouth, shuts him up, and throws him away. Now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she is nourished for a time, and times and a half time. From the presence of the serpent, so the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Folks, I want to tell you something this morning. When you read this scripture, people skip over this because of the pageantry of how it's written and the way that it's painted, the picture that's painted. But I want to simplify it for you this morning. That great woman was birthing the church. That is the symbolism of that. That woman was getting ready through the Son of God to have a church birthed out of her. And it says that that great dragon understood the purpose of God's mentality, that God was going to send his son to die on a cross, that those who could be saved would be saved. And folks, if you're here today, if you're a whosoever, you can be saved. Amen. But let me tell you something. As much as God knows that you can be saved, and I'll say this, you were born to be born again. Amen. Every person you know was born to be born again. And folks, as much as God knows what his purpose was for your life, that old serpent knows what is the purpose for your life. You are going to come into the glory of God the way that Satan used to go before the glory of God. He was being replaced. He was being given an opportunity now as the serpent to come into the world. And what did it do? That dragon then came to the offspring of the woman that it might destroy the offspring. Folks, I want you to know something, that the very goal of the devil is that not one person be born again and attend church. Amen. That's the goal of the devil. Folks, you want to know the warfare that you're fighting? The devil wants to shut you up, sit you down, make you quiet, make you tired, make you overwhelmed. So that way when you go to the gas station, when that attendant is back there and their heart's broken and they don't know no other way, and God puts on your heart and says, just tell them about me, child. Just tell them who I am. That you go, no, I'm a little too tired. I've got stuff going on right now. I don't have a minute to do that. That's the devil. That's the dragon. He wants to crush those that could be born into the kingdom of God. He wants to hinder you from adding to the glory and the bride of Christ. And folks, I can tell you, the devil is good at what he does. He's had thousands of years to learn and do this, folks. He's been trying to disrupt it from the beginning. But I can tell you, greater is he that is in me than he that's in this world, folks. Folks, God has given us one mission since we've been born again. And the will of God is that none should perish, folks. God has given us a commandment. He said, go out into the world and make disciples of all men. It's not optional for you. It's not pastors. It's not preachers. It's not missionaries. It's whosoever will. And when you believe on Christ, folks, I can tell you your first mission, you better go home and you better tell your wife, or you better tell your husband. You better begin to tell your children. There's only one way to the throne of God, and his name is Jesus. Folks, God has given us mission where when we go home, that wife is so nagging or that husband is so mean that we don't even want to give them what God has given, the free gift. Folks, it's time to stand and fight. It's time to say, to hell with you, devil. Get behind me. Someone's got to stand, folks. At some point, you got to realize that God gave you life in your belly to withstand the devil. And the Bible says when you put on the whole armor of God and you've done all to stand, you've got to stand. Plant your feet in the ground and say, I will not be moved. The church of the day, they listen to that old hymn, and I can tell you, when praise is going on, they cross their arms and they go, I will not be moved. They're pushing against God. I will not be moved to the throne of God. I will not be moved to the presence of God. When a prayer meeting is offered, people cross their arms in their long chairs, and they say, I will not be moved. We're singing the song wrong. We're doing it in the wrong context. Folks, get into the presence of God and stand fast and don't be moved. Folks, well, I can tell you when you come into this kingdom, there's going to be warfare. There's going to be trials that you've never faced before. But take heart, believer, we have a God who's fighting for us. And if he can be for us, who can be against us? That dragon wants your life. He wants your children's life. He doesn't want you to make it. He don't want your children to make it. He don't want your grandchildren to make it. Folks, there's casualties of war. And I can tell you, if you're not standing at the door with the sword of the Spirit saying, devil, you have no right to my children. You have no right to my spouse. You have no right to my home. That devil's going to come right in and do whatever he wants to do. We've got to honor God by doing what God's word says. And this is what it says, that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Glory to God, folks. We have authority from heaven. Y'all aren't as happy as I am about this. Folks, you ain't lost enough battles. That's really where it boils down to. I've lost enough to know that I don't want to lose no more. Oh, but I've been through enough to know that he's still enough for me. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Folks, maybe you just haven't lost enough yet. I can tell you, I've taken my last white flag out, and I'm done. I'm done losing. I'm done not going to the Lord to answer what I need of him. Folks, I'm not going to stand idly by while a worldly school system tells my children they can be another gender. Folks, I'm not going to stand by with that, folks. I'm going to go to my Father in heaven and go, God, only you can deal in the hearts of men. Only you can put people in positions of authority. It's time to raise up the saved. I'll tell you, I wonder why God hasn't moved saved people to positions of power other than maybe the saved people haven't recognized the authority and the power that's in them. He says, if I move them there, they would be just as ineffective as those that are lost. Because you're not fighting. They're not standing. Folks, the Bible says that the way to God is narrow and it's treacherous. It's not easy. Narrow is the way. But wide is the way that leads to destruction and easy. Folks, God has told you from the beginning it wouldn't be easy. I always reflect back on the conversion of Saul to Paul. I always look on that Damascus road because so many people look and they make this statement. I've heard it made. If you knew all that you would have to suffer, you wouldn't follow God. That's a lie from the devil. You know that? Because it says that when the presence of God, Jesus himself came and met with Saul, it said that it slapped him off his donkey. I want to say this, and I don't mean this in a mean way, but maybe God needs to come down here and smack us a couple times. Amen? I don't mean that ugly. I need to be smacked around sometimes, I feel like. Just God to say, wake up, boy. My goodness, I'm right here. You're missing the whole point. I need him to do that. And when Saul hit the ground, this God that he believed he had known all of his life, his eyes, though blind, could see for the very first time. Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, whom you persecutest. Why have you kicked against, folks, why have we kicked against the pricks? Why have we stood so strong against the will of God for the church of Jesus Christ? Folks, why are we not moving forward? We're either stagnant or we're taking steps back. Why are we in that position? I'm not saying that's your fault personally, but what I'm saying is that the believers in this house, if there was ever a time to stand, if there was ever time to grab that horse by the mane and get back on in the saddle, it's now. It's time to pray. It's time to lift our hands and give God praise like we've never praised Him before. Now is the time to share this gospel in a way that we've never shared it before. Now is that time. And of course there's going to be opposition. You may have never fought the hell that you fought leading up to this point, but it's because that dragon knows. He knows that you're pregnant with that child. He knows that that new life in the Christ is going to be birthed out of your life. That ministry of reconciliation is going to flow from you, and the devil does not want to see it. If he can kill you, he can kill your offspring. We have to know that the devil knows, but there is someone greater that we serve. Oh, God, I was reading this morning, I forget exactly where, but it said this. It simply said, for those that serve God, they're going to have to be as wise as serpents and as gentle as doves. Folks, I can tell you that as much and as crafty as that old slewfoot is, I can outwit him. Not in my own ability, but with the mind of Christ. The Lord used him as an example to have the wisdom of a serpent. Do you see how dumb that is? How dumb the devil is? That anyone in Christ with the mind of God, he can help you outwit the devil, the throngs of the enemy into your life. He can help you outwit it. And folks, and he won't let you be mean about it because you're as gentle as a dove. Folks, I've had many attacks on my life by religious people, by lost people, many attacks that wanted to put me into a position that hurt my testimony, that hurt the testimony of Jesus. But I can tell you, I didn't go at them with axe or sword. I went back to my prayer closet and said, God, there is an enemy out there that wants to blaspheme your name, that wants to cast what your testimony in my life is in the dirt. And if you don't give me wisdom on how to go forward, Father, your testimony is going to be ruined. And I can tell you, God shamed them in their pursuit to shame me. He moved me out of their arrow. He moved me away from the spears that were being thrown, all because I went to God. Folks, it's time to get back into the presence of Almighty God and simply say, God, I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to handle this situation, but I know that you do. I know that you'll give me the wisdom and the understanding to go, and whatever you say, I'll do it. If you lead me, I will follow. Folks, that old serpent, that old dragon, the devil, he knows the purpose that God has for us in our lives, and that purpose is to go into the world and to see people born again. How? Because we're overcomers. Who wants to come and join a church that has not overcame? Nobody. I don't. I don't want to join a church that hasn't overcame, because if you can't overcome for you, you can't overcome for me. I have a desire to go unto Jesus and in Him be victorious. Not because of what I've done, but because of what He's done. Oh, He's done it for us, folks. He's done it for us on the cross. And that cross that has won the war. That what He has done on the cross and that death and resurrection has won the war of all wars. That doesn't mean you're not going to have to fight a battle or two. But that means when it's all said and done, for those that endured until the end, folks, it's over. It's won. I want to take you to a piece of scripture. Let me find it. Matthew chapter 11. Verse 12, I'm shortening my message a little bit, Brother Eddie, I'm sorry. I may not use all my scriptures here. Some of y'all are saying you've only used one. But I did read the whole chapter. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 12. And this is what it says. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to receive it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Folks, it's time, if we have ears to hear, for us to begin to open our ears and listen to what God is doing and what God is saying. We can't go just by hearsay anymore. I can't go, you can't leave this church because I'm the pastor here and go home and live what I preached this morning. No, folks, what I'm preaching this morning is what was birthed out of a prayer life in my home, that God, you're going to have to help me live this for myself. And if you hear it this morning and God is dealing with your heart by the Spirit of God, you're going to have to go home and you're going to have to stand at the door with that sword of the Spirit, and you're going to have to fight off the devil that wants to hinder this word from birthing in your life. You're going to have to go home and you're going to have to pray over it. You're going to have to care for it, because how many of you know that this word is a gift, just like the gift of a precious child, and that which it is precious. And we have to take care of it. We have to go before the Lord and say, God, hide these things in my heart. Reveal them in my flesh. Because if not, this is the fruit of my flesh. Oh, God, I'm angry. I'm bitter. I'm deceitful in all of my ways. But, oh, God, I know that the gifts of the Spirit are love, kindness, gentleness, long-suffering. God, I'm none of those things without you, Lord. We can't just sit here and just hear. We can't just sit here and just receive. We have to bring that forth. I've said this before in this pulpit. Conception is not birth. Conception is not birth. Just because you received it doesn't mean that it's gone the full length and you've birthed it out in its life. Folks, we have to see it through to the end. We have to let God have his way in our life. Right here we see that Jesus is having a conversation with some of the disciples and followers that were come after John. But this is what was going on. John had just sent messengers, and he's in a prison. He's about to have his head cut off. He doesn't know this, but he sends messengers after he's been put in prison. And he says, are you the Christ, or should we look for another? Folks, Jesus just said that there has been no greater man born of woman than John the Baptist. And John himself, no greater man. He leapt in the womb of his mother when him and his mother and Mary got together. He knew who Jesus was from the beginning. He had preached Jesus in the midst of all persecution and all religious rhetoric. He preached Jesus. Never fazed. Now the end of his life, he's looking out of a prison cell. And he's asking his disciples to go talk to Jesus and say, is he the Christ, or do we look for another? Folks, maybe you're here this morning. Maybe you're here this morning in the same heart as John. You've served God all of your life. You followed after him faithfully, but now all of a sudden, the enemy's come greater than he's ever come before. He's dealt with you greater than he's touched you more than he's ever touched you before. And maybe you're here this morning and you're saying, God, are you really him? Are you really the hope? Are you really the Savior? Are you really the Redeemer? Are you really him? Or should I look somewhere else? And this is Jesus' response. He said, the deaf hear, and the blind see, and the dead are raised. Folks, that's my Jesus. You may be here this morning, and you may be saying, I've not seen none of that stuff, but I'm here by the blood of the Lamb. And this is the word of my testimony, that I have seen and I have heard the wonderful works of the Holy Spirit in the earth. He is real. You don't have to look any farther. He's right here in this place. He is the Lord our God. And as his disciples walked away, this is what Jesus said, only to fulfill prophecy, expressing that he is Elijah, if you were wondering. But he makes this statement. He says, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, but the violent take it by force. What does that mean, folks? It simply means this, that if you're born again, you're going to have to fight. If you're in the kingdom of Almighty God, I'll tell you this, the devil don't like it. He don't want it. I can tell you this church, by the grace of God, I believe this right now, that this church is in the will of God, going in the direction of where God has told us to go. I believe that we are facing a fight and a warfare that we've never seen before. But why are we fighting if we're not in the will of God? Can the devil cast out the devil? Can Beelzebub cast out Beelzebub? No. Why is the devil fighting this house? Why is the devil fighting you? I can tell you why. Because you don't belong to him. You are the son and the daughter of Almighty God. And this is the church of God. And folks, we will go forward. We will stand. We will stand in the power and the might of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I couldn't save you if I wanted to. Oh, but Jesus wanted to, and he did. By the grace and the glory of God, folks, let us not grow weary in well-doing. Let us not stop here in the presence of Almighty God. This is it for me, folks. This is all that I have for you this morning, is my heart that's broken. This word that I believe is truth. To look on now from this place and go, God, am I in your will? God, are you leading me? If you're born again, when's the last time that you asked somebody if they were a Christian? When's the last time you offered the gospel to them? Lifeway Studies and Research did a study on this in a church over about a six-month period. 81% of the church, this is a statistic, 81% of this region where they studied, believe that if you are born again and you're a Christian, that you should be winning souls to the kingdom of God. 81%. 61% testified that they had not spoken to a single person about coming to Jesus Christ. Out of that 80%, 61% admitted that they had not talked to somebody about coming to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. At least within 6 months. Folks, that's a real statistic. I believe if you went a wider scale, that number would grow, unfortunately. We have a job and a purpose in this life. It's not our works that are going to accomplish it. It's only the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit in us as believers that gives us the boldness and the courage to proclaim who Jesus Christ is. I'm not talking about going to other countries as missionaries. I'm talking about going home and telling your wayward children, there is a way and his name is Jesus. Telling your wayward spouse, you've lived like this a long time, but I'm not going to be here and let you live it no longer without knowing that Jesus is Christ and he is Lord. Folks, your neighbor, that dirty, rotten neighbor that always throws trash in your yard, when's the last time you walked over there and said, here's some brownies, here's some lemonade. I just need you to know today, because I've not told you, that Jesus loves you. And he has a plan and a purpose for your life. And that plan and that purpose is to be born again. I'm not talking about 10, 20 years from now. I'm talking about today. Today is the day of salvation. Folks, they're going to cuss you. They're going to scream at you. They're going to persecute you. But I can tell you, you're not the first that it's happened to. I titled this message, They Love Their Lives Not Unto Death. I want to read to you what happened to the apostles of Jesus. Is that okay? Do I have just a minute? Stephen was stoned to death at Saul's feet for preaching this precious gospel. Matthew suffered martyrdom in Ethiopia, and he was killed by a sword wound. Mark died in Alexandria, Egypt, after being dragged by horses through the streets until he was dead. Luke was hanged in Greece as a result of his tremendous preaching to the lost. John faced martyrdom when he was boiled in a huge basin of oil during a wave of persecution in Rome. However, he was miraculously delivered from death. John was then sentenced to the mines on the prison island of Patmos, where he wrote this prophetic book of Revelation on Patmos. The Apostle John was later freed and returned to serve as bishop of Edessa in modern Turkey. He died as an old man, the only apostle to die peacefully. Peter, by history standards, was crucified upside down on an X-shaped cross. According to the church tradition, it was because he told his tormentors that he felt unworthy to die in the same way that Jesus had died. James, the leader of the church in Jerusalem, was thrown over 100 feet down from the southeast pinnacle of the temple when he refused to deny his faith in Christ. When they discovered that he survived the fall, his enemies beat James to death with a fuller's club. This was the same pinnacle where Satan had taken Jesus during the temptation. James, the son of Zebedee, was a fisherman by trade. When Jesus called him to a lifetime of ministry as a strong leader of the church, James was beheaded in Jerusalem. The Roman officer who guarded James watched amazed as James defended his faith at his trial. Later, that officer walked beside James to the place of execution, overcome by conviction, and he declared his new faith to the judge and knelt beside James to accept the beheading as a Christian. Bartholomew, also known as Nathanael, was a missionary to Asia. He witnessed our Lord in present-day Turkey. Bartholomew was martyred for his preaching in Armenia, where he was filleted to death by a whip. Andrew was crucified on an X-shaped cross in Patras, Greece. After being whipped severely by 7 soldiers, they tied his body to the cross with cords to prolong his agony. His followers reported that when he was led toward the cross, Andrew saluted it in these words, "I have long desired and expected this happy hour. The cross has been consecrated by the body of Christ hanging on it." He continued to preach to his tormentors for 2 days until he expired. Thomas was stabbed with a spear in India during one of his missionary trips to establish the church in the subcontinent. Jude was killed with arrows when he refused to deny his faith in Christ. Matthias, the apostle chosen to replace the traitor Judas Iscariot, was stoned and then beheaded. Paul was tortured and then beheaded by the evil Emperor Nero at Rome in AD 67. Paul endured a lengthy imprisonment, which allowed him to write his many epistles and to the churches he had formed throughout Roman Empire. These letters, which taught many of the foundational doctrines of Christianity, form a large portion of the New Testament today. Folks, now's not the time to quit. The reason that most people quit is because they love their lives. They love it. I love my life. When the preacher comes and he preaches a message, you say, "Don't preach a message that condemns me." Folks, I'm not preaching a condemning message. I'm preaching a message that draws you closer to Jesus. We should be running to Jesus in this day and age. That person that says you're preaching a condemning message, folks, that person is comfortable where they are and they don't want to get any closer. This gospel is for the liberty of those who believe in it. Folks, and why are Christians in bondage if it's for their liberty? I can tell you only one reason: because you're comfortable in your shackles. God bless this church. God free this church. God free your church. Free us all, Jesus. As we read about these apostles who gave their life for the gospel, folks, no one's holding a gun to your head saying you don't get to be a Christian in this country. Yet this country does not minister the gospel of Jesus to a lost and dying world. Very few evangelists and missionaries to the neighbors and to the friends and to the family of our own homes. And folks, God has charged us with that responsibility. God's not going to send a missionary from Asia for my children to be born again. God called me to give the gospel to my children, to live out the gospel in their life. Folks, I want to say this. I've heard this said a couple times, and it's not wrong. It says to preach the gospel and sometimes use words. I've heard that a lot of times, but I'll tell you this. That's not wrong. You should live out the gospel. You should absolutely live it out. But the Word of God says, build up your faith. And how is faith built? By the hearing of God's Word. Folks, God needs your mouth to be open, testifying of the goodness of God. How did they overcome? by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Folks, you can't be, there's no one more scared to talk to somebody than me. I promise you. I have a gut ache every time I got to get in this pulpit because I'm so afraid to get in front of people and talk to somebody. I go home and I collapse because I put out, I feel like I'm exerting to just be something. But that's the presence of God. He compels me to get past me, that I minister to you the testimony that God's given me, that you would know him the way that I know. Folks, these men went to their death, not because they loved their lives, but because they loved this life that he gave them. Folks, and when you live a life like that, if you would ask, I believe we'll get to heaven and ask them one day and say, would you do it again? And I guarantee you, they would all say this, I'd give my life 10,000 more times because of the reward that I've received in Jesus. I'll tell you, when Paul was told all the things that he must suffer, what allowed him to get through to the end? I believe it was because Jesus revealed to him what the reward would be. Amen? Jesus has already revealed to us what our reward is. He said, I go to a place to prepare for you. I have many mansions. If it was not true, I would not tell you. But I can tell you, I'm going to a place. There's a place reserved for me, folks. And it doesn't matter what this world offers me. It doesn't matter where I live or what someone does to me. All that matters is what he's done for me and the place that he's prepared for me, folks. Can we be encouraged and stand this afternoon? Can we be encouraged in the Lord? Can we just give the Lord a hand clap of praise, what he's done for us? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, glory, glory to you, Jesus. You are strong and mighty, God. You are well aware, God, of my situation, yet you overcome it, God. Oh, God, you will not leave us nor forsake us, God. Oh, there's many that aren't for us, God, but greater are you in me than he that's in this world. Church, I pray you're encouraged today. Don't quit. Don't quit. I know you're going through it. I know the enemy has come and he's wanted to deceive you and make you feel like there's no way out. As she begins to play, I want to share this last little story. There is a woman who was going to swim the English Channel. She'd have been the first woman to have done it. On the day that they decided to do it, fog rolled in. Now, she had trained almost all of her life to do this. And she would swim for mile after mile, hour after hour against the strong current. The fog was so dense, and there came a point where she finally said, I can't do it any longer. They pulled her from the water. The boat drove 100 yards, and they were at the shoreline. They interviewed her after that, and they said, what do you think about this? And this was her reply, if I could have only seen the shore, I wouldn't have gave up. And folks, don't be that Christian here today. Folks, we're almost home. I can see the shore of that celestial city. I can see it. I could see my Father standing at the door, welcoming us in. I could see my family applauding, giving glory to God. We're almost home, folks. Don't be a Christian today that says, if I could have only saw the shore, I know it's foggy and I know it's dark, but we're almost home. Will you pray with me as we close? Father, I come to you today and I pray that your work and your word has had its place in us today. I pray that all of us are convicted in our hearts, God. Father, I do love my life. I love my comfort, God, but Father, build up in me a greater love for you than a love for this world, God. Help me overcome the fears in my life that stop me from ministering the gospel and the good news to others. Father, I give you glory for that man that stood in the darkness in my life and he gave me the word of God. Thank you that I'm saved today, God, And Father, whatever it takes, make that in us. Make that in all of us, Jesus, that we not be ashamed of this precious gospel. That, Father, that we not be cast aside, Lord Jesus, when a person that needs our help is in our way. Father, let us have discernment to see the hearts of men and women that don't know you, God, and that are ready to receive the good news. Help us, God. Thank you for our missionaries. Thank you for our preachers, God. But thank you for the men and women of God who love you, and they're serving you by being husbands and fathers. They're being grandfathers, Lord. And women that are being wives and mothers and grandmothers, God. Thank you for them that are serving you in that capacity. Thank you for this church. I believe their heart is to see the lost saved. I pray, Lord God, that we don't get weary in well-doing in this hour. Now is the time to not quit. Now is the time to fight. As we close this morning, Jesus, we give you the glory and we give you the praise and we give you the honor that is deserving only from you. Oh God, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this life in you, this victorious life in you. Whatever this world has to offer, you've overcome it. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you, church. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. I'm praying for you all. Amen. Pray for us. God bless you. Amen.